Welcome to the Men of Aid Gang podcast for September 11th, 2009. This is Steve Borsch, and on with me are my two of my cohorts, Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
And Graham Thickens.
Hello.
And Phil Wilson actually had other engagements today around the MEMA summit. He's doing some video shoots, getting ready for that. But we are very happy to have a special guest on today. Dan Malin. Dan, how are you doing?
Wonderful. Good morning.
Good morning. You sound a little tuckered out after last night's Minnesota Cup event.
Well, it's always a very long day for those of us who judge in the afternoon and then go into the gala event in the evening. So
yeah, yes. I'll bet. Just incredible. Well, so you and I met back. You were co-founder of ImagineNet with Scott Littman. And that goes back, gosh, to, I think we met in 2000.
Yeah, and the work there dated way back into the, even into the 90s. But yeah, we've known each other for a long time.
Yep, we were much younger then.
As my wife reminds me constantly.
Yeah, thanks, dear. Well, then you guys sold ImagineNet to WPP Group, and then you were chief operating officer of what? Of North American operations for the Interactive Group?
For the Interactive Group of J. Walter Thompson. Actually, a little bigger than Interactive. Non-traditional. Anything that wasn't traditional.
Got it. And then you and Scott are on a new adventure with Magnet 360, and can you just talk about that a little bit, about what Magnet 360 is and your objectives and mission?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's kind of funny, but the I think everybody knows it, but everyone's afraid to claim it. The advertising world is broken, and companies are out hiring agencies that to represent their needs in the market. They have six or seven agencies doing six or seven different things, and they all are competitive with each other. They all want a bigger share of wallet.
Yep.
And having been part of one of the world's largest holding companies, talking to other people in the various holding companies, this isn't different in anywhere. And the bigger agencies say they do it, but they have silos inside of their own agencies. And everyone's competing on their P&L. So we tried to build a different model in advertising, which is really an agency that represents the best needs of the client and then works within a network of agencies to deliver the appropriate services. Mm-hmm. So we don't have an allegiance or requirement to, you know, I have six IAs sitting there, so all of a sudden I'm trying to sell you work based on what I have available in my shop. We launched just a few months ago. It's been pretty successful and have signed some major clients and doing work. So that's always the end of the day, the test will be clients.
Yeah, exactly.
And we're signing, you know, big contracts to do services. And then we're also doing services as a white label to some other agencies.
Great. And then what was the genesis? You know, I've never asked you, and we've never talked about it. What was the genesis of the Minnesota Cup?
Well, you know, it's funny. It was one of those things. I think actually Scott came up with the original idea at the end of our management contract. So after we sold the company, we worked there for 4 years managing the business. And as that was winding down, it was just an opportunity, really, to give back and try to make it easier and almost change the weather for startup businesses in the state of Minnesota. And so through the process, it was a December idea, and we had a March launch. So we went to the governor, University of Minnesota, Wells Fargo, and we're able to, you know, in 90, 100 days launch the actual program. So it was fantastic to be able to do that.
Dan, this is Graham. I just wanted to jump in and ask about a little bit about the genesis of the Minnesota Cup. Is it kind of a continuation of what was early on a Carlson School program? And I know both you and Dan are products of the Carlson School.
Actually, Scott is a liberal arts graduate, not a Carlson graduate.
Oh, okay.
We can't give them all that credit. So the answer is yes, though we were unaware of it at the time. So we came in and asked the Carlson School, you know, we'd like to do this. And in the conversations also had our branding people, our PR people, our communications team sitting there with us. This is how we're going to do it. Unbeknownst to us, as we had walked in the door a few weeks earlier, they had just killed their predecessor program.
Interesting.
So the answer is absolutely. It's a continuation of something they were doing, but it was something that was had a slightly different focus. So it was student. It was a student only competition. It was about student business plans. And then, and some of the other components inside that were, it was student run, and year on year, it would be a different event every year. The Minnesota Cup today is a professionally run organization that has a home in the Carlson School, and really the Home Center for Entrepreneurial Studies is the base in the university, but is. As you saw last night, you know, for the fifth year in a row, the president of the university showed up at our event.
Yeah, that was great.
But it's also telling. I mean, this is something that supports the mission of the university. It's the land grant institution and delivering value to all of us, not just through education. So the answer is yes. It's kind of a continuation of something they had. But it was really a new genesis too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the remarks you were giving last night in regard to the background on the program, and Scott too. That something like, what is it, more than 3,000 companies have gone through this program over the years now, and you still actually stay in touch with a lot of them over the years.
We're upwards over 3,600 participants today.
Wow.
From 50 counties across the state too, which I think is also an important component. This isn't just in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, and more than 1,000 entries this year alone, right?
Yeah, this was our biggest year, and each year has gotten bigger. So I don't know if we can keep pace with that.
I love the way how Brunick suggested that if it keeps growing like this, we're going to have to hold the event across the street in the new stadium.
I love the challenge. I'm not sure I can get 10,000 entrepreneurs to participate, but if there's a group that can do it, it's us, right?
Yeah, right.
You guys inclusive.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, that new stadium sure looked awesome last night. I can't wait. As I'm sure is the case with you and Scott, right? You're going to be there on Saturday night, tomorrow night for the game.
We're excited. It's a campus deserves to have that. And the disconnection between leaving the campus to go to a sporting event really takes something out of it. And then on top of that, leaving it to go to the Metrodome.
No question. I totally agree.
Well, my fraternity was right across the street from Memorial Stadium, and now they're going to hold tailgating like barbecues in the back of the house, and it's two blocks away, and I just remember just how great it was to have the team there, and you're exactly right, Dan. When it went down to the Metrodome, it was like you're sitting in somebody's family room. It just wasn't the same.
Yeah. I don't think sports should be antiseptic.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Hey, and back to the Minnesota Cup. Tell us about how you added at least one category this year, right? What is it, up to six categories now?
Well, six categories. You know, we kind of naturally had two categories when we started. We had the general and the student, and it wasn't, but it was kind of just two competitions. that ran into, you know, together independently. Last year, the social venture partners talked to us, and we created a social entrepreneur event on its own last year as part of their process and their event. And so the Social Entrepreneur Cup and process began last year. This year, scarily late in the year, or late in our process, it was, I think, January, the governor and his team contacted us and said, we really want to push these clean and green initiatives. And so the end state of that was we created a clean and green division of the Minnesota Cup. And as we were doing that, we had always had aspirations of really breaking it into more divisions. So we biosciences, high tech, also we created divisions at that time. I got the Biobusiness Alliance behind the biosciences section, and the Minnesota High Tech Association, we've talked to and anticipate them taking part in the high tech next year. So really what we've done is created six total divisions, but it also makes the judging a much better process because we have judges that come out of those sectors. And as an example, in the biosciences, I'm sitting there as one of the judges, and I can pick the best entrepreneur between the people that are presenting. I can pick the best business people. But when you have somebody like Dale Wallstrom in there from the Biobusiness Alliance, or former exec at Medtronic, and he can say, I don't think the science works. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we never could evaluate the science in the past in the same light as it can be done today. So, and we had the head of Mayo Ventures in there. We have, just people who really understand the physiology of the body and both devices and medicines and the like. So it really, really improved the process to the point where I was sure I knew who was going to win. And other than the science, I was right.
Well, and so you end up, what you've done is you've built a model where you have domain expertise in each one of these areas that are doing the judging, right?
Absolutely. The great domain expertise. And also the other thing is we created a prize for each of these divisions. So at the division level, in year one, we gave out a total of $37,500. Which was great. It was a wonderful thing. This year, we gave out over $130,000. So that has, it's a substantially better prize model. And each of the division winners in this model, other than the student winner, won $20,000. And then the grand prize is an additional $20,000.
Yeah, so a total of 40K for that grand prize winner last night. And we should talk about Alvenda. What can you tell us about the winner?
All right, as we look at companies, and there are lots of things that matter. So, the nice part, we had six wonderful presentations yesterday. Each of the division winners gave a fantastic presentation, and that is part of the judging criteria. So if you fall off a little bit on that, it can make the difference because the scores can get that tight. Alvenda is a company that really has taken the concept of a banner ad and the concept of an e-commerce store and merged them. So the idea is in the banner ad, you can transact your actual purchase. So their first major client was Mother's Day for 1-800-Flowers. And what they have done literally is there's a banner ad showing some flowers. If you click on the banner ad, it expands on your screen while you're still in whatever website you're in. And then you can order what you want and put in your credit card, and they take the transaction and 1-800-Flowers then delivers the flowers. They've had some traction with the likes of Target and Best Buy, and are and launching some holiday things. They also have put a store inside Facebook, and they really believe that Facebook is the longest term play, which is capitalizing on the population of Facebook. They actually referred it to the Facebook population as the fourth largest country in the world.
Well, so I gotta tell you. Do you remember seeing the PayPal widget, which was their attempt? It's still out there. It was their attempt at creating a widget with a catalog and a transaction e-commerce right inside that widget, and they still haven't done anything with it. And you talked about advertising being fundamentally broken. E-commerce is even more fundamentally broken. And this was just, I mean, when I saw this, it was it's so clear that the opportunity is dramatic, because not only do you have the call of action with the ad, but then you can actually consummate the transaction right there at the customer touch point.
Yeah, and they're getting, tenfold improvement on banner ad to transaction click-through rate. Click-through rate on banner ad to transaction versus standard. So in the Mother's Day timeframe, 1-800-Flowers was running both an Alvanda version and a standard version, and 10x better on the Alvanda version.
Wow.
The other thing is they have a fantastic model, which is a revenue share too. So there is an upfront cost, the setup cost and integration cost, because it is integrated. They know the inventory, they can use data warehousing and other things from the source company. And then on top of that, they have the capability of doing the transaction, but after that, they just take a piece of the action, as opposed to charging for the service.
Mm-hmm.
The model to the company is: we'll take the orders, and at the end of the month, we'll send you a check.
Can you talk a little bit about how you take dissimilar kinds of companies and make the final decision on the winner?
Not only dissimilar kinds of companies, we even threw in a social venture nonprofit. So if you think it would be hard with five dissimilar companies, throw in the nonprofit and then try to figure it out. I mean, we have a scoring criteria, and it's innovation. It's because one of the things we're looking for is a breakthrough idea, not just something. In the 1,000 entrants, you'll get something like, here's the best location for a new coffee shop. And we had more of this in the early years than we do later. But the point is, those may be good businesses, but that's not what the Minnesota Cup is about. We're looking for breakthrough ideas that can be the next 3M, Honeywell, Medtronic, Control Data. The great companies that have started here have all started from a seed, and we're trying to nourish those seeds. So that innovation is a big component of it. The viability, can it be commercialized? Can it really get out in the next couple of years? So there's some ideas that were submitted and great companies that really are 3 to 5 years away from having the science done or the rollout plan. And so that is limiting in our criteria, but they can resubmit. So we encourage them after they're a little farther along to get there. Again, the quality of the business plan and the presentation are components in the scoring. The market potential, how big is this idea? If it's the greatest idea and the cash flow is $100,000, or after 5 years, or it's the greatest, or 100 million, that is relevant in our outcome. And the kind of the opposite of that is, or not opposite, but in addition to that, we also measure the social impact, which so you might not have market potential or the same type of thing from a profitability perspective, but if you have social impact that is of the same scale, you can get there. So Rural Renewable Energy Alliance really has the opportunity to have social impact that is national. And it's about being energy, they called it energy poverty, where, you know, people are poor because they have to pay to heat their homes. People are poor from, you know, they have to choose to heat their home or eat. And they have, you know, some funding solutions. Instead of subsidizing the energy, why not put in, you know, solar-based energy concepts so that we're actually funding the reduction of energy consumption, not more energy being used. Great, great opportunity there. Other things, the actual management team, is this a group of people that you're presenting that can take this forward? Do we buy into the fact that you could make this successful? Because any venture capitalist will tell you, given the choice of the world's best idea and an unknown mediocre team, or the best team in the world and an unknown idea, they would give the money to the best team in the world because they'll figure out how to make money. And so it's really important that you have the right team behind it.
Yeah, I was going to say that that probably means that guys that are just lone founders submitting applications to the program are probably not going to be seen in the best light if they don't yet have that team pulled together, right?
Well, a little bit of that, and that's for sure, but also acknowledging that you are or aren't the right team. So, you know, if a founder's in there saying, the first thing I need to do with the money is go hire a new operations guy or a new, you know, whatever those deficiencies are, that can actually go a long way too. The scary ones are the entrepreneurs who think that they can be the CEO of their company when really they're a scientist or really they're an inventor or really they're truly just an entrepreneur that could never grow that company. And it's important as an entrepreneur to understand that I might not be my CEO, and CEO, title irrelevant. You know, I need to go hire a president and COO or whatever, you know, whatever it is to augment my deficiencies can go a long way in a business plan. So understanding that, or lots of times we see plans that have, they have sample people in them that you know, I'd like to go find somebody like, and then they might, they'll list a person and skills, but they don't know if they could actually hire them.
Sure, sure. Say, Dan, could you talk a little bit about the judges, or what do you call them, an advisory board? It's a fairly diverse group of folks from the community, and I think it would be interesting to hear you describe that group.
We have, I mean, first of all, we have judges in each of the various areas. So with more, more experience in the space. So, in the clean and green division, we had Todd Taylor he's a renewable energy attorney at Fredrickson and Byron, Ken Stabler, from Xcel Energy, Wade Foth, from the Blandin Foundation, Sandy Lehman, Commissioner of Iron Range Resources. I mean, just, you know, it's just one, the people who are doing things in renewable energy every day, participating, Doug Cameron from Piper Jaffray, who's the, you know, managing director of and chief science advisor. So those are the types of people that were in that room. Biosciences, Dale Wallstrom, which we discussed earlier, the CEO of the Biobusiness Alliance. Mike Moore from the William Norris Institute, Sean McEntee, a partner at the Maslin firm, Beth Leonard from Lurie Besikoff, Jay Schenkler, Office of Technology Commercialization from the University of Minnesota, Tim Lasky, you know, a PhD from Medtronic. Again, people who can evaluate. Steve Van Nerden too. Office of Intellectual Property at Mayo. So again, institutions fairly well represented.
I'm going to put a link to the review board page, because I'm just looking at it right now, and you know, the people that you've got that are part of this are just amazing. I mean, even, you know, here's Art Fry, the post-it note inventor, who's you know, whose fame is probably still surprising him.
He's an art's an old friend of mine, so I asked him to join, and he absolutely loves it. Every year he talks about it, and he gives really interesting insight. One of the things he said in the conversation yesterday, which was just one of those key things, if you think about it, he said, you know, in his years, he learned that products that are preventative in nature don't sell as, are harder to market and get out there than products that are solve a problem that you have. And the example he gave was, you know, if there was a product that you could spray on your oven to keep it from getting dirty, it would be harder to push in the market than the product that you spray on your oven to clean your oven once it is dirty. It's one of those interesting kind of views of the world.
Yep. Yes, that is.
Well, that's also why corporate wellness programs are always challenged to get people to prevent future illness.
Right. Well, it's harder to cost justify all kinds of things, but yeah, we all know that, this actually gets into the healthcare debate, right? We're spending money in emergency rooms, not preventative care.
Right.
It's the same thing. Well, once they're sick, it's obvious we have to do something, but God forbid we could figure out how to keep people from getting sick.
Yeah, exactly.
Say, Dan, I suppose we should at least mention the other finalists, because I agree they were all tremendous presentations, and just their 2-minute elevator pitches that I heard last night. But why don't you rattle those off to just complete the honors to all folks, because they all were big winners, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I could pick out other companies that you'd all love to hear about too. But so in the biosciences sector, we had a company called Pursuit Vascular, and there's some crazy statistics that of the number of people that die who are on dialysis, as an example. The people on dialysis get infections, and there's a 20% chance that you're going to die from an infection if you're on dialysis. So that kind of defines a big market. And they have a technique, in effect, to eliminate much of that. And it's hard to say how much of it, but to eliminate that by, in effect, I'm going to use very low-tech graphics in my description of their product, but they have a high-tech pipe cleaner that's treated with a antibiotic disinfectant that they stick in the port or tubes. When you have dialysis, you have two tubes hanging out of your chest for the rest of your life, or until you're no longer on dialysis. So after each treatment, they stick think of it as a pipe cleaner dipped in solution that goes in the tube and creates a seal. So it kind of expands with the solution in there and creates a seal and kills anything that would grow or come in through that tube. So you come in for your next dialysis, they pull those pipe cleaners out, they do the process, and then they put in another one. So a very disposable piece, very easy to do, and really gonna affect, has economic possibilities and really will have great effects in the world, assuming it's successful.
Well, now, couldn't we just use pipe cleaners and Bactine?
Yeah, it's exactly. There's a little science and technology behind it too. I simplify. There's also an applicator, so it's sterilely put in, and all kinds of things. But yeah, as far as I'm concerned, if you're ever there, I'll come put in your pipe cleaner.
All right. Let's hope not. Yeah, who won in the green category?
So in the green category, excuse me, again, just a wonderful company, Packet Power is the name of the company. And what they've done, first of all, there's the problem that they are here to solve is that computer usage, server rooms use a ton of energy. And actually the cost of energy is approaching the cost of the server. So the life for over the lifetime of the server, you're going to spend the capital expenditure and the actual cost to run it from just an energy perspective are almost equal. And what they've done is they've replaced the power cord with a power cord that has a smart device in it. And it's a, it creates a micro network that the power cords then communicate back to a monitoring device that can tell you what servers are busy, what servers have availability, what servers are performing inappropriately. So if a power supply is going out, as an example, it probably is going to start behaving differently. And this device can help you and help you manage the power consumption in your facility. They've had a couple early beta test sites, one of which is IP House here in town.
And, oh, yeah.
They've just raving reviews on what this can do. After the funniest thing was we also gave out an Entrepreneur of the Year award last night to Joel Reining. And in his speech, he asked Packet Power, because he runs a few servers.
Yeah, he does.
He asked Packet Power to come see him afterwards. So
yeah, that was
that's the best thing that happens is the mixing and matching that we can hopefully do. So and again, just a fantastic opportunity. And these guys again, I talk about the teams, but a great team, people who have run data centers, people who understand the problems. So then we'll go to the general division. And here we ended up with I'll call it a food product, Drazzle Juice Teasers. And Drazzle is basically a 100% fruit juice, but it's infused with antioxidant-rich, caffeine-free tea. So the concept is it's the same as 100% fruit juice, but it's also got antioxidants in there, which are better for your kids. So very interesting. It's a good play, good brand for the market, and they just need a boost to get out there. So we talked a little bit on the social about Real Energy. Real also has a lower cost solar device that they design and manufacture. And one of the other, you talk about these kind of cascading benefits in the community. So they license this manufacturing to various organizations. So I can't remember the tribe, but one of the tribes on the Indian reservation has actually licensed manufacturing. They're manufacturing these for their region and installing them. So it's actually providing jobs in the community. These devices are closer to $5,000 than $20,000 to install. And it's kind of a solar heat exchanger that can reduce your heating costs here in, it works anywhere. In the United States, they showed an energy map or the amount of solar energy available as compared to Germany, where solar energy is prevalent. And 100% of the United States is warmer than Germany or has more solar power available, which I found very intriguing. Wow. We think about, let's put that in the desert, but not in Minnesota. So then the student division, which is really one of the most wonderful ideas I've ever heard, is the concept of the man cave. And man cave is a kind of a, it's the Mary Kay for men. It's the creative memories for men. It's the pampered chef for men. Their first concept is parties around the grill, barbecuing. So they have, basically you throw a party. You have invite your friends over. You learn grilling techniques. You look at great high quality grilling products, and I was really amazed at the quality of these things. They think of everything when it comes to what the products are that they're putting out there in the marketplace. So they're the best of the best, and the like. And they're selling Their business plan is modeled around selling $600 of things at each party. And to date, they're averaging over $1,100 per party.
That's Whoa. Great.
And they were just at the state fair, and they signed up over, 100 advisors or something, which is just puts them ahead of the, ahead of their forecast. And this, I'll call it a kid. I mean, he's a student at the university. He is driving this thing as fast as he possibly can. He's going to make it happen. He's created a great brand, and having personally, done consulting projects for two other of these kind of marketing companies, Creative Memories and Party Light, which is a candle version of all this. Mm-hmm. I really get the business model. There's a lot of money to be made in this space, and it's pretty well known fact that 99.5% of all of the current consultants in this type of industry are female. So and everything is female focused, and this is really, really an opportunity to leverage the concept and grilling, meat, beer, poker, those types of things. And a great set of products. And they actually sell meat, they sell wood chips to smoke, all kinds of things. And then they have additional concepts coming behind that. So you might see things like a hunting version or, various other things that you could be doing beyond grilling to be a man.
It's about time, because every time I heard about Tupperware parties in Mary Kay, I thought discrimination. And it's about time that we had equal opportunity.
There you go.
Exactly. Well, I might add, it's the first one that I would be intrigued to go to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
I have been invited to a Tupperware party, and I respectfully declined and was not that pleased that I was okay with the discrimination when it comes to Tupperware. But if you want to talk about my grill tools, I'm happy to talk about that.
Oh, fabulous.
I love the way that Man Cave announced last night that they've already been approached by a major beer brand, too. You got to love that.
I have to be careful because he disclosed the brand, but this is real. Like, this beer brand approached them this week. So in between, these companies gave up their semifinal presentations on September 1st. So in between that time, the beer companies contacted them. They want to give a certificate for a case of beer for each party so that, basically, if you're hosting a party, they'll provide the beer. But there's some joint marketing things where this could give him national advertising.
Oh, yeah.
X&X Beer Company that sponsors Man Cave, and it's the feature of their commercial, it will be a Man Cave event, where everyone is drinking that beer.
Yeah, unbelievable.
I mean, if you think about the dollars that could be put behind this, you just kind of go, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
And it turns out beer swilling is part of Man Cave, even though the company itself is going to stay away from beer for the liability reasons.
Well, fabulous. Hey, Dan, we promised that we would let you go at 8:55, and we're a couple of minutes after that. But I got to tell you that this is what an event you guys have pulled together, and there are so many people that are driving forward on this. And I know that I want to learn more about all these different companies.
Yeah, if I could, the one thing I'd like to just end with is really a big component of the whole thing is the outcomes from prior years. So we've got companies, one company sold to Johnson & Johnson, that's the big win as we look at it. Last year's winners, a company that called CoreSpine, which it's a medical device that actually it's a tool that's used to replace or remove portions of your spine so that all these new things that can replace them are put in. Anyway, they received some FDA approval. So these are big things moving those types of things forward.
Yep.
And our goal is the success of all these companies, not just one of them. We pick a winner because we have to pick a winner, but the best thing that we can do for the state of Minnesota is help all of these six in the prior years, or the prior, you know, even the 30 before, or the 1,000. Joel Reining talked about fast failure is also a goal. Find out it's not going to work and then move on. Well, if we help some of those people determine that they should find something else, that's a good outcome. We help other people push it forward and be able to communicate better. All the things, every step of the process in the Minnesota Cup should help all of the companies that are involved, not just the winner.
That's a great point to end on. And congratulations to both you and Scott and all your team and all the great sponsors. It was a tremendous event again, and I'm really glad I could make it last night. And best wishes to all the six finalists and everyone who participated.
Yep. Yeah, well, thank you guys for what you do, and keep the communications flowing. And we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thanks a lot, Dan.
Great.
Bye-bye, Dan.
Bye.
Well, that was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Indeed.
Really appreciate him being on. And, you know, this is funny because I started to go to, I'm pulling up all of these different websites so that I can put them in the show notes. Mm-hmm. So people can link to them. And incredibly intriguing. This Packet Power, specifically, you know, for technology companies, undoubtedly they place sensors inside these power cords. Mm-hmm. And it's just fascinating stuff.
Yeah, and that's our old friends from way back at Perceptions days, Paul Bagansky and Steve Van Tassel.
Oh, sure.
Are the management team there. And of course, Paul did a stint with Cargill Ventures as a VC. So they're out raising money now. They have a lead. And they've got a big future in front of them, I think.
That's fantastic.
And Joel Ronning of Digital River also wanted to talk to them, which you can well imagine, or as well as to Alvenda. He wanted to talk to both of them, you know, so I thought that was a remark.
Yeah, well, I'm very intrigued by Alvenda. And I was thinking about you, Tim, with all your clients that, being able to advertise and have a transaction capability at the customer touch point.
Yeah, there's a little bit of complexity in the wine world as far as selling wine online, but the technology behind that is this phenomenal. So if it's legal, then yeah, that would be a great technology to use, I think.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, and the neat part of that one is they use the Instratus cloud platform to run that in the cloud. So there's a dual story locally going on there, which I'm going to pursue.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Graham, you were at the Techni Awards the night before, the Minnesota High Tech Association. How would you compare the two events?
Well, you know, they both attracted a good sized crowd, although I'd say the Minnesota Cup there, it was definitely the larger of the two. There must have been upwards of 700 people at the McNamara Alumni Center at the U. The night before, Techni might have had 250, 300 at the most. And of course, the Techni Awards are really more about, I think, the larger, more established companies in the community, because that's largely the membership of right. Minnesota High Tech Association. Yeah. So there wasn't much way of finalists announced. They didn't announce winners. They announced those in October at their annual gala banquet. But they announced three finalists in each category, and they were mostly larger companies, but also nonprofits and schools and some state agencies. So not too much in the way of emerging companies. But last night the Minnesota Cup was all about the early stage new companies, and it was really a high energy event, and a lot of great networking last night. I'm really glad I caught it. I'm going to upload my Flickr set. Maybe I'll send you the link to that, Steve, in a minute here after we're done.
Okay, terrific. And then coming up, you and I are going to be doing the Rainmakers Conference, doing audio video interviews on site. And that should be very, very interesting.
Yeah, that's the 23rd and 24th, and it's primarily for angels or for would-be angels. But my understanding is service providers that are involved in the local investment community are welcome to register at that event as well. And even entrepreneurs that may be in the funding mode, although I guess entrepreneurs that register won't be allowed to attend the Thursday morning session the second day when the four presenting companies are on stage, but I will be there, you know, with Steve, as he said, to you know, attend the sessions and do some interviews, and it'll be kind of fun. We're their media partner for that one. So you know, I'm a big supporter of the Angel Network concept, and specifically of Rain Source, which is really the largest organization of its kind in the country that has 20 some angel networks now in 8 states, I think it is. Each one operates an independent fund. And a large percentage of their membership, their angel members, will be in attendance at that event.
Well, speaking of Minovate being a media partner, we are also the media partner for the upcoming MIMA Summit called Migrate 09, which is October 5th from 7:30 a.m. until 7:30 p.m. at the Hilton, downtown Minneapolis. And it's really looking like it's going to be a great event. Seth Godin will be in, and there's a great lineup of speakers. Jackie Huba, who's done a book on citizen marketing and creating customer evangelists and so on. I mean, it's good. This is shaping up to be, I would bet, their biggest event ever.
Oh yeah, they are, and they've got, of course, got Seth Godin as a keynoter too. Yep. So, yeah, that's going to be a big draw, and that thing does draw from multiple states. They're, you know, getting on the national radar with that event. It's a major marketing get together. That's for sure. I wouldn't doubt they'll have upwards of 700-800 at least at that, maybe even more.
Well, and I heard Tim Elliott's going to be there.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
So, yeah. Everyone.
And are we going to do a podcast there? Or are we just going to record interviews?
I think we're going to do both. I think we'll do both. Yeah. Yeah. And then we'll obviously be live blogging and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. It'll be just terrific.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have like a podcast table or set up somewhere centrally. And they also have a blogger's lounge where those of us that are attending as press and bloggers can hang out. So it's a very well-run event. Jen Kane Consulting does a great job working with MEMA to pull that off.
Yes, she just, what a firecracker. She's doing a lot with, you know, and that's one of the things that I find interesting about what's going on in Minnesota right now, that we have people that are coming up and they're offering really good, solid value into the marketplace. Jen Kane is a primary example of that with her social media centric seminars and that she's doing. I also did the post about what Ivan Stejic is driving with 10-7 Interactive, the web design workshop, which is coming up on the 17th of September. You know, so there's a mm-hmm. lot of these sorts of things that are really starting to come out and that people can take advantage of.
Yeah. So. Yep. The local event scene is definitely improving all the time. And then I was at one of Jen Kane's events, PR 2.0, a month or so back, and posted about that. Another great one.
Well, gentlemen, this has been a good podcast. I appreciate you guys being on. And too bad Phil tried to call a couple of different times, and there wasn't really a good spot to get him in. So sorry about that, Phil. At any rate, have a great weekend.
You too.
Yeah. Yeah. Back to work and go Gophers and go Vikings this weekend.
That's right. That's right.
Should be fun.
All right. Well, do not bring your pocket knife and scratch up the seats in the new stadium.
That's right.
All right. Take care, gentlemen.
Have a great weekend.
Do. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.